Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's November 25, 2013, and this is episode 397. And today I'm really delighted to be joined by a couple of great folks from Offset and Shutterstock, Karen Sachs and Scott Brout. Hi, guys.
Hi, Martin.
Hi, Martin.
Hi. So today we're going to be talking about Offset. Obviously, I know that some of my listeners are already aware of what Offset is, but it's like a sister company of Shutterstock. And I'm going to let you guys talk a little bit more about this because you're obviously the experts. But today we're going to be talking about stock photography and how you could possibly get involved in Offset yourself and all sorts of goodies that I'm sure we're going to find interesting. So, Karen, let's start with you. I mean, you're head of image acquisition, and you know, I hear that you were the initial contact for me as well. You work directly with photographers, sourcing new talent and overseeing the editing of the collection. From your perspective, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and then what Offset is?
Sure, no problem. We're very excited to have you as part of Offset, and you're the type of photographer that we're looking for. Interesting photographers who are shooting different types of content around the world, and many of our photographers have never licensed their imagery before. So I have worked in various aspects of the photo industry since I graduated from university. I started my career at National Geographic and have also worked at Martha Stewart and Pottery Barn, where I art directed catalogs. So it's a varied career, and I've worked with many different types of photographers over the last 12, 13 years. And we're reaching out to these different photographers to curate a really unique collection. I think often when people think of stock photography, they think of the business handshake or a woman answering a phone, very stereotypical images of stock. Yeah. And what our team here is trying to do is recreate that notion of what stock photography can be. And by working with photographers like yourself, we're building and curating a brand new collection to introduce to our clients around the world.
And then, you know, I've looked through the library, and I'm humbled to be a part of it and very excited as well. And so, you know, I know that this is something that's pretty fresh in the industry, and we'll get to shortly, you know, where the state of I was going to say the stock market, but that's that would obviously be the wrong thing to say. You know, the industry itself, how that's shaping up at the moment. But before we jump into that, let's hear a little bit more from Scott. So can you tell us a bit about yourself as well, Scott?
Sure. Thank you, Martin. So my name is Scott Brout. I'm currently the Vice President of Content for Shutterstock. I've spent most of my career as a photo editor, photographer, and technologist. I originally began my career at the Associated Press at about 1994, which is when the AP was making the transition from film to digital. So back in the day, as many people can, you know, may remember, they had the $20,000-$25,000 NC2000, you know, massive digital cameras, which at the time were groundbreaking, but not the quality of obviously what we have today. Spent many years at the AP, both as a photo editor and photo desk supervisor, overseeing their breaking news efforts. Mm. And then eventually moved on to work with various agencies and publications, worked on projects for Scholastic, Corbis, and another number of other agencies. Eventually found myself at ABC News, working on the product and technology side of things. Mm. I wanted to diversify, just, you know, not just work on photography from the photographer's or the editor's angle, but also kind of understanding that the kinds of gains and the kind of transformation that was taking place in the internet. Wanted to get more into technology, so I worked with ABC News for a few years on their products and websites, and eventually came over to Shutterstock to oversee what was then the footage business and then also the content teams today.
So when you say footage, is that that's video then?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Footage is typically the term for stock video.
Yeah. Okay. So You both are obviously heavily involved in the creation of Offset. It's when did you launch again? It's about 2 months ago that you went fully public, was it?
Exactly. We had a softer launch when we were still in beta last spring, but we officially opened up to the public just at the beginning of October. So it's just over a month or 6 weeks or so that we've been out there with the site open so that anybody can come and see this incredible collection, download the images, get to know our photographers. And I should stop to say, Martin, how honored we are to have you part of this collection. Both Scott and I love your work so much, and it means a lot to us to work with you and see your new imagery as you travel the world and are constantly shooting. So thank you for having us here, and thank you for being part of Offset.
Not at all. I'm honored. I have to say, I mean, for a long time, I was getting to the point where I no longer, I would just sales of traditionally priced stock photography was going basically down the pan. So I was actually, it was like a breath of fresh air when you emailed, and I've just been really happy to be working with you guys as well. So I think we seem to be mutually happy with the setup, which is great.
Great, perfect.
Offset itself, obviously you've got an amazing site with Shutterstock and the service that Shutterstock, everybody knows Shutterstock. What was the incentive or the reason behind setting up Offset as such?
Yeah, so we should probably describe Shutterstock a bit because I'm not sure how many of your listeners will already be familiar. I assume many are, but Shutterstock is basically a global marketplace for stock imagery. Currently represents a collection of about 30 million images and 1 million videos, and those images and videos come from about 40,000 artists. Offset is a new brand from Shutterstock that represents a tightly curated collection of images. With a heavy focus on a few attributes, and those attributes are high-end assignment quality images, as well as images that appear very authentic, which is a popular style these days, and images that we say tell a story. So Shutterstock as a business currently serves about 750,000 customers. Those customers could be independent designers, websites, small businesses. We also have media companies, publishers, and large agencies that we serve. And then all of those customers are coming to us every day, and they're downloading images for use in publications to communicate visually or for use on websites. It has traditionally been very difficult to license high-end images or assignment quality images in a very simple or easy way. So, in the same way that Shutterstock basically disrupted the traditional licensing model with subscriptions, Offset is currently disrupting the market for high-end images in the sense that it has made it very easy to access this high-end assignment quality imagery. On the artist side of things, there are a lot of assignment photographers out there who shoot assignments or personal work and then retain future licensing rights to their images. So now Offset is a place where those artists can license their pre-shot work to these leading ad agencies, publishers, and media companies around the world.
I see, I see. How have the buying public or the agencies received Offset now that you've got the doors open and it's all fully public? How's it going from your perspective?
It's going really well. I think for many of these advertising agencies, Offset is a breath of fresh air. They've been waiting for something like this, where images that they really want to use, hero images, images that they want to really center a campaign around, they haven't always been able to use because of the higher price points. So to have something that's affordable and attainable, but very high quality, is exciting for all of these ad agencies. And I work closely with the sales team. I go out on many of the sales calls, meet with the agencies, tell them about Offset, share the names of the artists, many of which they already are familiar with because they're hiring these artists for assignment work. And you see their eyes light up when they see what Offset is and the quality behind this and the names on the site. So it's been received very well throughout the agency world.
So Tell us a few of the other photographers that you've signed up with. Who else do you have in your collection?
So we have a number of different photographers. We've been working with Brandon Cole, who does underwater photography. Mm. He's the top underwater photographers out there. Obviously, David Duchemin, who you know well, is also working with us. Gentle and Hires, they're photographers who I knew from my time at Martha Stewart Living. It's a husband and wife duo. They've been shooting for 25 years. They shoot for some major brands, and they've given us their archive, and they're constantly sending us new work. So it's a wide range where we have nature, landscape, photographers. We have still life and some incredible food photographers who are shooting for major food publications. And still life, we're starting to get into a little more fashion and interiors and really building out this collection. So it's not just the most beautiful images, but it's about having unique, interesting images that clients are really searching for.
I think you ring a bell there with the beautiful, because you know when Offset went public, I sent a link to a whole bunch of people on, well, I posted a link on Google Plus, and one guy came back saying, you know, like, wow, I can see over 1,000 of Martin's photograph thumbnails in one place. And
right.
I think that it's quite a the aesthetic of the site, you know, how you've got it all with the mosaic or the tiling is it, and it all slots in, you know, each one slots in perfectly, so there's no gaps, and it all just looks really, really nice. I mean, you must have put a lot of work into the site itself.
Yes, we have a very talented design and development team here. You know, there are some really strong philosophies here in terms of user experience online, and many of those philosophies are to put the content first and let the content, you know, breathe and really do the talking. Many websites that you come to, particularly sites like our own that are e-commerce marketplaces for images, there's often a lot of interface, which really kind of stands in the way of what the customer is there for. And they're there to find beautiful, useful, unique images, and that's really hard to do when a lot of these sites, you know, fill the interface with all of these interactive elements, and then simultaneously they're presenting images as these really tiny thumbnails. So we took it as a challenge to create an interface that really allowed the content to breathe, and because there's a storytelling aspect of the content itself, this idea that you can actually come to the collection, find a few images that work really well together, presenting them in that large, beautiful, interlocking way really lends itself to that.
And Martin, one thing I say about the site, one thing that I think our team has really accomplished is allowed the viewer, allowed the client to immerse themselves into the images. So I know from my art buying and photo editing days, I would receive portfolios, hardbound portfolios from photographers who wanted to shoot for the companies I was working for. And I feel like Offset allows you to get inside and really look at the images the way you would view a photographer's portfolio. Big, beautiful images. And like Scott said, not a lot of interface. It's all about letting the imagery speak.
Yeah, that's very much how it feels. It's you know, you look through it, and it's just a beautiful experience. I've looked through a lot of the other artists' work on the site as well, and it's just a pleasure to view.
Thank you.
When I first started looking through, I was a little bit surprised initially to see, obviously from a buyer's perspective, it makes so much sense, but I was surprised to see the illustration work in there as well. Is there a conscious, you know, what was the decision really behind just throwing the photography and the illustration work in the same collection?
As I mentioned earlier about our core collection, or what we call our core collection, we currently serve the needs of these 750,000 customers around the world. Those customers routinely license from us both illustration and photography. That's where they actually find value. So those are all customers that are looking to communicate visually, engage with their audiences, that kind of thing. We actually find that photos and illustrations, also vectors, are very, very popular, all three, as well as video. And so, you know, one of our goals is to actually serve the needs of those creative buyers in as robust a way as we can. So the illustration that's in Offset right now is very high quality. It's very early days for that part of the collection, but we feel it's an important part of the collection if our goal is to actually serve the needs of all those customers.
Yeah, it is. The quality is incredible. Obviously, in my audience, I do a photography podcast. I've got a whole bunch of incredibly talented people that listen to this. Is it possible for listeners that are interested to apply to join Offset as well?
Absolutely. We would love for them to come to offset.com, look at the collection, see the types of imagery that we've curated so far. And if they scroll to the bottom of the page, they can click on a link that will allow them to apply to be an Offset artist and fill out some information, send us a link to their portfolio, and we will gladly look through their work and reach out if we feel like it would be a great addition to Offset.
That's great. So, just so that people know, I obviously, as usual, there'll be a short link. This will be posted at mbp.ac/397 for episode 397. And I'll put links to the stuff that we talk about in the show notes. So it's, you know, you can go over there and take a look. But obviously, offset.com is the place to go. Just if you're at a computer and you're interested in taking a look, just go to offset.com and even take a look while we're talking. But yeah, scroll down to the bottom and that link's there. I imagine someone contacts you and they're going to present you with a body of work. What do you want to see in that body of work when someone submits an application to you?
We want to see who that artist is. We want to tell their story because that story is going to be told to the clients who we're constantly meeting with. As Scott mentioned, Offset is really about the authentic imagery. It's about imagery that feels real, that you've captured a moment in time. So not necessarily heavily produced and staged or posed, but imagery that tells the story. We're noticing that our buyers, our clients are downloading multiple images to tell their own stories. So we like seeing these images connected. We're not necessarily looking for just a beautiful image, as I mentioned earlier. We're really looking for unique images, a unique perspective, even if it's an ordinary subject. It's a unique perspective with interesting, beautiful lighting, great composition, where the entire image has been thoughtfully considered.
So, I mean, authenticity is obviously, there's a, I see that even on your top page at the moment, you have, let me just scroll back up, award-winning artists, authentic imagery, all royalty-free. And I mean, again, this, it's just these three very short phrases is pretty much all you see on the top page. So again, it's like full marks for simplicity and impact. But, you know, authenticity or authentic imagery, I know that this is one of your strong points. Could you maybe jump in and talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. We often describe authenticity as real people, natural looking images and sort of natural looking situations. It's very difficult, I think, for photographers often, ironically, to create images that don't appear posed as much as they might do it in their personal work when they're asked to do it to create images for clients or for stock. They often struggle with being able to create sort of those more intimate, personal, natural moments. Mm. I think part of what's going on is a trend in advertising is certainly this move away from talking at audiences and more of a trend towards engaging with them on a community basis. So if you think about what the market was for photography 10 years ago or 15 years ago, you were talking about, particularly in editorial, you were talking about a few thousand newspapers and magazines. Now we're at a point where there are 2.4 billion internet users consuming content 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they're doing that through 700 million websites. They're doing that through Tumblr. They're doing it through Instagram. They're doing it through Facebook and other social media sites. And so brands right now are really trying to figure out how to plug into that conversation. And so it's about a few things. It's about being able to talk to folks like teens. So for example, I believe at this point, about 41% of the world's population is under the age of 25. And so as brands begin to engage with those audiences through all these community and social sites, those audiences, particularly the youth audience, don't necessarily respond to highly staged advertising that talks at them. They want images that sort of appear natural and authentic and sort of talk to them at their level. Mm. So for example, Alice Gao, who is one of the most followed Instagram photographers, is one of the contributors to Offset. Alice shoots beautiful work and does some commercial assignments as well. Alice was given a assignment by Mercedes-Benz, in part because Mercedes-Benz really appreciated her photography, but Alice is also part of this Instagram community, and there are a lot of exciting things that are happening in that community for them. So again, you know, Alice brings an aesthetic that works well in that audience, but it also kind of resonates in a way with you know, some of these contemporary conversations that are going on. It's just a little bit different than the way things had been handled, you know, even just a few years ago. So we're looking for authentic images because that's really what is beginning to resonate with these brands.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's like, you know, Mercedes-Benz are actually tapping into Alice's social media footprint, you know, her following by working with her in that way. So I mean, that's a new angle, really, to compared to how it's worked for, you know, a number of decades.
And increasingly so, a lot of these brands are finding photographers on Instagram and some of these social sites. They're not just finding them through somebody shipping a book or some of the directory sites. So, you know, we really encourage any artist to have a presence on Instagram. It's not enough to put your images up and just leave them there. You have to engage with the community. You have to begin to have conversations with those people, even if they're visual conversations. And that, you know, creates a level of discourse that both can guide somebody's work, but it also makes you available in a commercial context to people who maybe are looking in these places for artists.
You know, I mean, I mentioned earlier that I have basically seen sales of stock at traditional prices drop down from, you know, a relatively lucrative amount a few years ago to literally just one or two sales a month, and then even less after, you know, for the last couple of years. And so, as I mentioned earlier, it was like a breath of fresh air when Karen emailed and asked if I'd like to join Offset. But do you think that the, you know, traditionally priced stock photography is pretty much dead, or is there still a future in that?
We believe strongly that there's still a future in it, which is why we launched Offset. The reality is that there are different kinds of customers for different kinds of images. Certainly within our core business, which is based on subscriptions, but also has much, you know, higher pricing through some custom licenses and things of that nature. We, you know, basically serve a lot of different parts of the market. So, for example, in our core business, we've already delivered 350 million downloads, which is the same as saying that we've delivered 350 million image licenses. So to the point earlier about this idea that there are now 700 million websites and millions upon millions of small businesses who are looking for images so that they can communicate visually with their customers and their audiences, that's a big business. And, you know, Shutterstock has really been growing based on that part of the market and what those folks need and the way that we engage with them and the way that we treat them as part of our community. At the same time, you know, there's still advertising agencies and major publications that are looking for something unique, and they're looking for something special, and they're looking for something different and extraordinary. And those people are happy to pay more if there's the quote unquote right image. I think where Shutterstock has excelled is in this idea of making the process simple and easy, and, you know, even to the point earlier about respecting the content itself. So respecting the imagery, putting the images first, not focusing on things like interface and the user experience, not having complicated pricing and licensing models. You know, if you think about just where we are as a culture and an online culture, people are consuming so much content. I believe that there's some statistics out there that say things like, you know, 500 million images are being shared every day, which can be very scary on the supply side. But simultaneously on the demand side, you know, there are millions of images that are being consumed every day. So you have this massive ecosystem dynamic that's going on right now, and a certain part of the market responds well to affordable images, and a certain part of the market is willing to pay more for the right image. One interesting thing that we find in our core collection is that there are many different products that we offer, and I mentioned, you know, some of the products that are ancillary file types like footage and video, which are very important, but you know, our core collection is largely images. The customers, even within that environment, will transact with us in different ways. So they'll come with to us and they'll transact with subscriptions, but then simultaneously we license image packs, and simultaneously large brands and ad agencies and publishers will come to us and be looking for pre-negotiated agreements where they want a certain number of images for a certain price. And so those folks want a worry-free experience. They want licenses that are generous. They want pre-negotiated terms so they don't have to worry about negotiating for every single image. And they're actually willing to pay more as a result of having that or to get that worry-free experience. And so even in our core collection, where we may be selling or licensing images under subscription, we also license images sometimes up to $400 or more, where each individual download is paying out, you know, it could be $100 or more. So this is a big opportunity for artists. You know, we feel passionately, both Karen and I, that, you know, this is an area where artists could be participating and licensing their work, particularly work that they've created on assignment, or they could be creating new work to fill gaps in the collection. There's a tremendous audience out there for this. We actually, you know, just as one last point, we recently, in our core collection, signed a deal with Facebook. We're now Facebook advertisers. There are about 1 million active Facebook advertisers on their site today. They can choose Shutterstock images as part of creating ads. So those little thumbnail ads and those newsfeed ads, advertisers have the ability to actually leverage Shutterstock images for that. With the 1 million advertisers, there's a big audience for that. There are actually 18 million businesses that have pages on Facebook behind that. So if you think about this kind of generous expansion of the market, you do have the high end. You do have Offset. You do have advertising agencies and big publishers. But then you've got this massive audience that's, you know, seems to be growing every single day, that is looking to consume affordable imagery.
Obviously, I appreciate that Offset has raised the bar, and you know, I mean, just for the sake of the listeners, when you go to buy an image as a regular customer, when you go to buy an image on Offset, it's $500 for a 300 DPI full sized image, and you can buy the 72 DPI image for 250, half of that. But when I talk about traditionally priced, you know, I mean, obviously you're coming at it from a step up from Shutterstock. I'm actually coming at it from the other way, in that when I used to sell an image that would be used in an advertisement globally, it would be multiple thousands of dollars. And so, you know, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about traditionally priced. So, I mean, do you think that the days of people paying, I don't know, $3,000 or $4,000 for an image for advertising, are they over? Or do you think that there's, you know, I understand as well that, you know, obviously people will always have to consider assignment photography, where they actually pay a photographer to go into the field or to go into the studio and create work specifically for that client. And that I kind of class as a different, that, you know, that's assignment photography, working for hire or that sort of thing. But you know, when you think of a photographer that has an image that he's already shot, whether it's traditional stock, you know, people handshaking over a, I don't know, a fax machine, or you know, the traditional sort of stock images, or more of the authentic work that we've been talking about today, you know, rather than the photographer already having the image and wanting to sell that after the event, do you think that the days of the multiple $1,000 or even, you know, even higher amounts changing hands, are they over, or is there still an opportunity there if people wanted to really stick it out and try and make that kind of money?
We don't think that those days are over at all. We currently, as I mentioned in our core collection, we have off-the-site pricing and off-the-site products where a customer can come and, you know, get what they need just by taking a credit card and entering it and then basically downloading, you know, the images that they want. In each of those cases, obviously, the artist and the photographer is getting paid. Simultaneous to that, we have a lot of the circumstances that I was describing earlier, which are advertising agencies, media companies, people who potentially need a special or unique image. They potentially need exclusivity where they want to have that image simply for themselves for a period of time. Those folks are willing to pay more, and they are willing to pay in the many thousands of dollars. That tends to be a custom offering, you know, with our site. It's not necessarily an off the site offering, but it is a business that we're doing every day. You know, that being said, I mean, certainly the market has, I would say expanded, you could say shifted, but more brands need more images than ever before. So when they're buying large quantities of image, you know, the prices that they're expecting to pay for those each individual license maybe weren't what they were 10 years ago. So if you know, there's a common saying now that brands have really become publishers. All of these folks are serving many different channels. If we talk to a designer now, a designer isn't just designing for a magazine. A designer is designing for the magazine, and then they need images for the website, an iPad app, the ebook, a bunch of other different uses, and lots of them. So, you know, in that environment in which licenses were infrequent but very high priced, it's just a different environment today. And that's not to say that the era of higher priced images is at an end. It just means that there's a very large number of uses that take place, you know, again, these 350 million downloads, where we've paid out $150 million to contributors. We're simply serving a different audience with a different need, as well as with offset servicing that high end.
Yeah.
Just to add to that, it sounds like what you're talking about when you talk about traditional is rights managed imagery. And we're really trying to offer clients all the needs that they're looking for through royalty free.
Yeah.
And so I think that is also a slight difference is just the opportunity that we're offering clients by coming and using one of our images.
Yeah, I get that. I recall when I obviously I've read through the usage rights that you attach to images, and I think it might be worth you know, even when you say royalty free, a lot of people consider royalty free as You pay your $250 or your $500 for an offset image and you can do anything you like with it. And that's really not the case, is it? What sort of things can you do with an image if you were to go and buy, say, a $250 image, the low resolution image from an offset? What can you do with that and what can't you do with that?
Yeah, the licenses themselves accommodate what we would call, you know, a modern workflow. So in the sense that, you know, many images are being published digitally today, the license itself allows, for example, unlimited reproductions, because that's just the reality of where things are at. You know, we often, when we compare rights managed to royalty free or rights managed to our offset license, we say things like, you know, the internet doesn't have a print run. It's just an outdated concept. You know, the internet doesn't restrict itself to geographies. So whereas, you know, in the traditional space where you're dealing with rights managed images, where those things are constrained, that has become a insurmountable impediment for artists that want to, or designers and brands that want to use images. So, you know, within the context of a single user, a single entity, the license itself is relatively generous in the fact that it doesn't have some of these limitations, but that's what customers want. And that's where the market is. And that's what we're servicing. So, you know, again, you could have gotten high quality of images under different models and more complicated models. What offset really does is it brings high quality imagery to the masses in a way that ultimately benefits contributors because it puts more money in their pockets because we are servicing that global audience.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking of the I noticed somewhere in your licenses that there are certain things that you couldn't do with them, which I was actually surprised because I was thinking as well that it was just you know, once you've bought it, you can pretty much use it for anything.
Some of the areas that are traditionally restricted are things like creating merchandise, print on demand, Those are, you know, areas of high sensitivity among artists, and also sometimes where it's a circumstance where it's not necessarily offered as part of the core license, but if a customer comes to us with a need and it's a reasonable need, you know, we might actually put them at on a custom plan at a much higher price point or a different price point to accommodate that need. But we just recognize the fact that at the current pricing off the site, there are certain things that do and don't make sense. And that's the way it's structured. Certainly, you know, some of the more extreme uses we forbid. So people can't use things for pornography or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we try and, you know, keep the license reasonable and meeting the customer need while not exposing the artist to some of those uses that they wouldn't be happy about.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. It was I'm there now, not being able to use it for print-on-demand T-shirts, mugs, and posters and stuff like that. And
right.
I thought that was a nice bit of protection for the photographer, right? I guest on a guest host on This Week in Photo every so often, and one of the examples that Frederick Van Johnson, the host, often brings up is, what would you do if you saw someone walking down the street with your image on a T-shirt? You know, and so I mean there are areas that are restricted, even within royalty free, which is kind of good. And but I do fully understand that most of your customers don't want to deal with that stuff. They just want to buy something and know what they can and what they can't do with it. And I think that the license, offset license itself, it's straightforward and easy to understand. And it's actually not as long as a lot of licenses I've seen as well. So I see that you're aiming for simplicity, enabling your customers, and that obviously at the end of the day is going to turn into more sales, which is going to make the offset artist more money as well. So I think it's definitely a win-win situation.
Yeah, I can remember just a few years ago working as a photo buyer on magazine projects and book projects. And the act of getting a request for 30 images and making 20 phone calls, you know, calling in all sorts of images, not being able to get the high resolution versions of the images to put in a layout, tracking the rights, tracking the delivery memos, negotiating for each and every price.
Yeah.
It's, you know, as a buying experience, it's very stressful for buyers. And then you're working on multiple projects. So, you know, how many hundreds of images are you doing that with? And then, you know, this idea of having to track the rights in each one of those circumstances, you know, with the full and absolute goal of respecting the photographer's needs and the photographer's authorship and that kind of thing. It's a system that hasn't been working very well. And I think, you know, Shutterstock came in where it did and really disrupted the imagery, mainly because it served a need that had always been there that nobody else was serving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important for artists to understand that it's important to think about and invest in your business and your images. But in the act of doing that, you also have to think about where the world is and where the customers are and sort of like how to take advantage of that in a way that still gives you prodigious control over your own work.
Yeah.
So for example, with Offset, you know, and with our core collection, we're non-exclusive. So we don't lock people into tightly controlled contracts. We actually are firm supporters of photographers and contributors. And we basically say, like, look, if you want to put your stuff, you know, subject to a few, you know, kind of like minor considerations, if you want to put your stuff with other outlets, you know, please do so. Please, you know, make yourself as successful as you can make yourself, and we support that.
I thought that was pretty refreshing as well when I joined you guys. I actually took down my other stock site though, because I just wasn't. It cost me money to have my images there each year, and I think the last year it cost me more money than I made from the site. So I decided to throw it all in with Offset when I joined you guys. But that's just an aside. I I do, you know, coming back to what you were just saying, though, I know that a lot of photographers, obviously, they get all bent out of shape when they find that their one of their images has been used, say, when they originally licensed an image, they said that they needed credits with the image at all whenever possible, or it had to be there, and then they find the image without a credit and they get all bent out of shape. But it really is, I mean, as you were saying, it's if you're working with a whole batch of images, and or you're just trying to keep track of what you can do and can't do with a whole batch of images, it's got to be a huge problem for the people that are actually out there sourcing those images and then using them in the publications. So it's I totally understand the new model, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, and certainly being concerned about credits and authorship and those kinds of things, you know, we're very supportive of authors in that respect. Mm. You know, buyers should put a credit on imagery. They should give credit to the artists. You know, it's disappointing in practice when, you know, if and when they don't do that.
Mm.
But to your point, you know, images are being used at such a volume. You know, we really would love to see that stuff happen. You know, the world is kind of transacting in a way today where, you know, you hope it would happen, but it's tough. So, you know, our expectation is that, you know, authors should have the right to sell their work or not sell their work. They should have the right to decide where they want to sell their work. Mm. And we're very supportive of that. We're also very welcoming of feedback. So one of the things that we do, you know, every day, every week, is we bring artists into the office. We actually do sometimes videotaped interviews for the teams here. Mm. In terms of understanding what their needs are, areas of sensitivity. It's something that we also do with customers and clients, where we bring them in, we videotape them, we do what is called both qualitative and quantitative research. So qualitative research being some of that interpersonal interviews, quantitative research being things like surveys or data analysis that you can do on our sites.
Yeah.
And our goal in those circumstances are really to kind of come to an understanding in a middle ground of what buyers need and what they're looking for in the perfect licensing experience, and then what artists also need in their perfect licensing experience. And, you know, our mission every day is to, you know, adequately and effectively broker the needs of both of those audiences.
Yeah, I think you've really struck a good middle ground in all of those areas. I know that you do have the, you know, I mentioned the people getting bent out of shape there more because of the management side of all of the, you know, the numerous licenses that people work with. But I do also realize that you have guidelines for crediting the photographer and, you know, it should be written under certain circumstances. And again, it's all just very plain English. It's not all legalese, and it just makes so much sense. So I congratulate you guys on creating what I'm sure is going to continue to be a very successful service.
Thanks, Martin.
Yeah, thank you.
So what I'm going to do is, I think that you mentioned earlier, if anybody wants to, obviously we were talking earlier about people actually applying to become a part of Offset, they can do that over at offset.com and then scroll down to the bottom of the page. Is there a way for people to actually just drop you a line if they've got any questions?
Sure, they can email us at artists, that's artists with an S, at offset.com. artists@offset.com, and we'll happily answer any questions that they might have, take a look at their portfolio. We want to help artists generate revenue off the images from their archive. So please reach out and be in touch if you would like to be part of Offset.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I mean, you've already started making me money, so it's a win, it's
great.
It's a win, a win-win situation all around. So I really am pleased to have had this chat today, and I thank you both for your time. I know that we're coming up on an hour now, so I won't keep you any longer. But yeah, it's been a pleasure, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. We've enjoyed it.
Yes, thank you very much, Martin.
And thank you very much for listening today. I hope that was useful. I enjoyed the chat very much. So remember, you can find me on Google+, Twitter and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.